You're listening to This Wasn't in the User Manual, a Stargate Atlantis supernatural crossover fic, written by Paperbind, read by Raina Jenkins. Story is rated PG. Pairing John Rodney. Author's note. Thank you so much to Celtic Tigress for editing, and to Quidditch Kiss and Bitter Crimson for not only pulling beta duty, but for listening to me whine for days upon end about this thing. On Thursday morning, the lights in John Shepherd's house began to blink. "Huh," Rodney said, seated at the kitchen table and halfway into a donut. John made sure to check the fuse box and went back to his coffee. On Friday morning, three of the bulbs in John's foyer popped with a hiss. "Jesus Christ!" Rodney yelled, cradling his hand where one of the glass shards had taken up residence. "Come here," John said, tugging on the hem of Rodney's shirt and trying to remember if he'd put in the right wattage. On Saturday morning, the lamp in John's bedroom burst into flames. He spent the afternoon picking electricians out of the phone book while Rodney gave the household appliances wary looks. "I can't say I've ever seen anything like this before." The guy's name was Steve, and he was currently putting pieces of John's imploded lamp into a plastic bag like it was a crime scene, and John had just mutilated a neighbor's cat. "What do you mean you've never seen something like this before?" Rodney was teetering in the doorway, head tilted to see over both John and Steve's shoulders. He was clenching his bandaged hand. "I've seen appliances catch fire before, but this..." He held up a piece of charred porcelain. "It just combusted. No faulty wiring, no overheating, and you said it was off, right?" "I was sleeping," John said, rubbing at his temples. Steve whistled. "You're lucky it was a contained blast." "Contained blast," John thought. "My lamp exploded." "I'll need to check the fuse box and some of the other electrical appliances in the house, just to be sure." "Of course," John said, stepping back as Steve stood up, holding his plastic baggie labeled, "Dangerous!" John entertained the thought of toxic houseware for a brief moment before following Steve into the hallway. "If anything else explodes, I'm going back to Nevada," Rodney hissed, pressing in close on John's right as Steve filtered into a room down the hall. "Nothing else is going to explode, Rodney." They might have to live without power for a few days, but John was pretty sure Rodney would survive, once John pried him from his laptops and hid all his black clothing. Besides, you could do with some time outdoors. Rodney sputtered. "Outdoors?" He waved his hands. "I spend half my time outdoors, exploring alien planets!" "Shh!" John glared, green eyes focused on the door where Steve had disappeared. "I was expecting some time off where I wouldn't be dodging shrapnel, but apparently God hates you and has condemned me for keeping your company." "What?" John's brow creased. There was no reason to bring God into this. He wasn't very religious, but John was pretty sure that he and the man upstairs were on good terms. Steve was poking his head outside the room. "Have you guys been getting a lot of rain up here?" "What?" Rodney asked, completely stalled in his tirade about John's religious intolerance. "It's been dry for weeks," John supplied, narrowing his eyes at Rodney. "Oh, well, I think your walls are leaking." Cursing, John shifted past the electrician and into the spare room, Rodney right on his heels. The firewall on the left was secreting a black liquid. "I told you!" Rodney exclaimed. "You are on God's shit list!" The electrician hadn't found any other problems during his sweep, but Rodney had taken to wearing oven mitts for protection, just in case. A plumber was next on the list of people John needed to call. It was penciled in right under electrician and right before therapist. That one was in caps and underlined twice. He was in the process of doing just this when the doorbell rang. An incessant buzz that short-circuited into a drone after 30 seconds. John wrote the electrician back in under therapist. "Rodney, get the door." McKay had taken sanctuary in the den since God had deemed John's house a blight on mankind. coveting his excess of computer batteries and removing every other electronic device from the area before blocking the outlets with pillows. "I'm busy!" he yelled back, forcing John to pick up the first item he saw and throw it at the doorway leading to the den. "Ah!" There was a loud shuffling, and John smirked as Rodney toddled out, mittens and all. "A spoon?" Rodney asked, picking up said article and waving it viciously. "You threw a spoon at me? We can't use the dishwasher!" "Get the door, McKay." Rodney gaped at him angrily, before storming off to the front of the house. John heard the door click open, then shut. "Well?" he asked as Rodney came back. "Jehovah's Witnesses." "Oh," John said, and shrugged, phone pressed between his neck and shoulder. The doorbell went off again, and the sound faltered, letting off a high whine before dying completely. Rodney paused to give John a disapproving look before heading back to the front door. "Right," John thought. "God hates me." He sighed, ignoring the automated voice on the other end of the line, and hung up. Rodney was mid-rant when John reached him. "Look, I know this is part of your road to enlightenment, but I'm not really interested in paying you people to keep bothering me." The two men on the other side of the door weren't what John was expecting. They were young, pressed into flannel shirts and leather, the shorter of the two in dirty boots and untied laces. "I mean, the evangelistic preachers are annoying, but at least for them I have the option to change the channel." "Rodney," John said, garnering the attention of the men on his porch. "They don't..." "Rodney!" "What?" "I don't think they're Jehovah's Witnesses." Rodney blinked, looking at John and then back at the men outside. "Oh," he said. "You're not?" The taller one looked momentarily stunned, before smiling brightly. "No," he said. "We're not." The shorter of the two coughed and adjusted his jacket. "Actually," he said, "we were sent by the Fielding Water Company." He held up a badge and nodded politely. "There have been some reports about unusual water flow in the area." "Oh," Rodney said, and then, "our walls are leaking." "Your walls are leaking?" The men on John's porch were smiling, obviously more amused by Rodney's abrupt shift than thrown. "We think one of our pipes burst," John explained, "but we haven't gotten a hold of the plumber yet." The taller one nodded. "Would it be a problem if we took a look?" "Not at all," John said, stepping back to allow the two men entrance. "It's upstairs." "This is a lovely home," the shorter one said pointedly, grinning at John. "You live here long?" He had his hands stuffed down into his pockets, surveying the entryway with a manufactured sort of fascination. "No, we're renting," Rodney said, crossing his arms against his chest. The man changed his focus. "Renting? So this is just temporary." The lower half of Rodney's jaw clenched. "Yes, our permanent home is somewhere else." The taller one stepped in. "How long has it been leaking?" "About a day, maybe more," John replied, bemused, waving a hand toward the stairway and motioning the men to follow. The spare room smelled wet, the left wall's plaster swollen with moisture. It had been consistently secreting liquid since Steve the technician had discovered it. "You said there were other people in the area having problems?" John asked, giving Rodney a look as he pressed in right behind the shorter man. Green, if John was reading his name tag right. "There have been spikes in the amount of water usage throughout the area. We assume that an underground pipe burst, but so far there hasn't been any irregular activity reported. So we're going door to door to ask people if they've been experiencing problems." "That's very thorough of you," Rodney said, arms crossed and lips slanted downward. "We get paid to be thorough," Green grinned, winking in John's direction. Rodney made a strangled sound low in his throat. "I'm sure they pay you in ones, too." Green didn't miss a beat. "Depends on how long I stay." John felt the fleeting urge to warn the men of the impending barrage, but figured it was better to let Rodney get it out of his system instead of leaving it to hit him later when he was unaware. Thankfully or not, the taller of the two, Cornwallis, stepped in to defuse the situation. "So, what do you do for a living?" "I'm an astrophysicist," Rodney sniffed.
"An astrophysicist," Cornwallis repeated.
"Yes, it's a very involved field that requires a great deal of..."
"That's great. You big on baking, too?" Green interrupted, head inclined toward Rodney's hands.
"What?" Rodney looked momentarily startled, pausing before following the man's gaze to his oven mitts.
"No," he said. "These are for safety precautions."
"Like taking something hot out of the oven?"
"Like preventing them from identifying my fingerprints when they find your body."
John coughed, stepping forward and taking Rodney by the elbow.
"We'll be downstairs if you need us."
"I'm looking into their credentials."
"Calm down, Rodney."
"Calm down? He practically threw himself at you. 5 more minutes, and I'd have been prying him off your leg. This is completely unprofessional. I can't believe..."
John sighed, settling down at the kitchen table while Rodney continued muttering to himself. He'd pulled off his oven mitts in a fit of rage, and was now plugging the coffee pot in repeatedly to test the outlet.
"The man's a walking penis, if it weren't for the fact that..."
"The American Revolution," John said suddenly.
"What?"
"The American Revolution," he repeated.
"Cornwallis and Green."
"Is this some secret code for sex?" Rodney asked.
John frowned. "It's the name of the men from the water company, Cornwallis and Green. They were generals during the American Revolution."
"Thank you, Mr. Fifth Grade Facts. Would you like to start regurgitating battle statistics now?"
"You don't find that weird?" John continued, ignoring Rodney completely.
"Not as weird as I find the one's repeated attempts to get into your pants."
John hummed in indecision, dragging Rodney's abandoned coffee mug from earlier to his side of the table and downing what was left in it.
"Great," Rodney said. "Now the coffee pot isn't working."
"It's probably just waiting for you to stop being epileptic with its plug."
"Oh, ha, ha," Rodney sneered.
John licked his lips. It wasn't unreasonable to crave normalcy, to long for the occasional day without exploding appliances, overbearing workmen, lasers. Well, no, lasers were always welcome.
"Excuse me," Cornwallis appeared in the doorway. "Could you point me to the water tank if it's not too much trouble?"
John smiled politely, tilting his head to the door opposite Rodney.
"It's in the basement."
Cornwallis nodded in thanks and shifted out around Rodney, leaving behind him an awkward silence.
"He's nice."
"I hate you," Rodney replied, turning his back on John as he continued fiddling with the coffee machine.
"Lies," John muttered, amused.
It didn't take long for Rodney to disappear back into the den, oven mitts officially abandoned, mouth spitting warnings at John about the wiles of virile young men. The virile young men in question were currently upstairs, stealing jewelry and smelling John's underthings. Or at least, one of them was, if Rodney's cognitive powers were correct.
"Excuse me, sir?"
John smiled. Looked like Rodney was wrong. "I was wondering if it would be at all possible for me to ask you a few questions." Cornwallis was a sturdy fellow, built like a tree. John had been internally debating his height since he first met him, first guess including the numerals 7 and infinity. Assessing him now, it might have been an overshot.
"Of course."
Cornwallis's stature did seem to lessen the need for a ladder, the extermination of which undoubtedly prevented injuries and lawsuits. "Have there been any other odd occurrences lately, water-related or not?" John paused to glance down the hall to the den door.
"Define odd."
He made short work of niceties, drilling John with a series of questions. "How long have you lived here? Have you noticed anything abnormal recently? Unusual noises, flickering lights, scratching?" John nodded slowly, processing.
"We've been having electrical problems." Cornwallis inclined his head, motioning for John to continue. It's actually how we discovered the wall was leaking. We hired a technician to check the outlets. Things have been combusting lately.
Breaking?
More like exploding.
Oh. Would an electrical problem affect the plumbing?
John wasn't a hack when it came to home repairs, but anything that required more than a wrench and screws was outside his vicinity.
Not necessarily, but depending on how long the water's been leaking, it might affect some of the house's basic wiring.
Cornwallis smiled reassuringly, brows still knit in contemplation.
Well, he said, I'd better head back upstairs and make sure everything is going all right.
Right, John said, waving him off as a sound like air being let out of a tire reached his ears. He tensed instinctively, mentally preparing to take refuge beneath the table if something decided to explode. But the sound shifted, and John could make out words.
Psst!
John tilted in his chair, catching half of Rodney's face as he leaned around the den doorway. His cheeks were flushed and his eyes watery.
John!
John hesitated, internally debating if it was at all possible to pretend he hadn't noticed him, or if he'd already retained eye contact for too long.
John!
He sighed. Setting down the paper and abandoning his mug with a forlorn glance, John stood up and made his way down the hallway. If this doesn't involve sex or exploding appliances, I am stapling you to your chair. Rodney's face twisted, displeasure and annoyance flitting to the surface. He moved back as John got closer, vanishing into the abyss of the den, gently lit by the numerous laptops.
They aren't who they say they are,
he hissed, gesticulating wildly. Laptop wall, John himself, laptop. John felt a pang of remorse when understanding set in. You looked up their credentials.
Yes!
Rodney grabbed John's wrist, dragging him in the direction of the desk.
You actually looked into their credentials.
You were one of those kids that went outside to play encased in bubble wrap, weren't you? Rodney barely paused.
Look, I have a sense for these things. I knew there was something wrong with those two the minute I opened the door.
Was this the first or second time? He stilled, fingers hovering over the laptop's keys.
There are murderers inside our house, and you are mocking me?
John shrugged. Just trying to keep things normal.
Rodney scoffed, twisting the laptop around so John could see it. Look!
Well, fuck, John thought as the sight slammed into focus. Rodney had apparently hacked his way into the FBI private personnel files. Sam and Dean Winchester, brothers.
I'd like to see what...
Hello?
Rodney jumped, snapping the laptop shut and folding it up towards his chest.
Hello?
John wrapped a hand around his elbow and dragged them both to the floor. It wasn't much protection, but if the Winchesters looked in, they'd be hidden by the desk.
Oh my God, they're coming to kill us!
Rodney's breath was thick.
I knew we shouldn't have let them in. Water repairmen aren't that good-looking.
John growled, teeth clicking as Rodney twitched into his side. The Winchesters had obviously finished whatever they'd been pretending to do upstairs.
We need to call 911, Rodney said, fumbling for his cell phone.
John ignored him, peeking around the desk to the door, still slightly ajar. Getting to it wouldn't be a problem. It was deciding whether he should lock it and wait for the police, or take matters into his own hands. It was his house. He had it an entire military, fought aliens, taught Ronan how to use utensils. If he couldn't protect his own home, then what good was he as a military leader? Deciding fast, John bounced from the crouched position and went for the door.
What?
Rodney's fingers slipped over the keypads on the phone as he tried to twist around.
Where are you going?
John held up a hand. They're in the kitchen.
Stay here,
he whispered. Tone implying that John was acting far stupider than usual.
We don't have time for your macho, I can bench press 220, mindset.
The skin between John's brows crinkled. I can bench press 240.
That one guy weighs at least 300 pounds!
The shuffling in the kitchen stopped, and Rodney snapped his mouth shut. The entire situation was horribly familiar,
Except Ronan and Taylor were missing, and all John had was Rodney McKay and 3 very nice laptops, none of which he could hurl at their intruders. "Rodney," John said, voice calm, "we're just going to treat this like we would any other mission. You stay here and call the police, and I'll go out and distract them."
"Distract them?" Rodney repeated. "How? By waving your arms about and letting them pump you full of lead?"
John stilled. "Pump me full of lead?"
The History Channel was having a mobster marathon.
The floorboards creaked, and Rodney flailed, grabbing onto the hem of John's jeans and pulling him backwards.
"Mr. Shepherd?"
"They know who we are!"
"We gave them our names," John said.
"Oh."
Rodney appeared momentarily deflated.
"Right. Dr. McKay?"
John licked his lips, glancing around the room for any possible means of escape. If it came down to it, the window was the most viable option. Slowly, he shuffled Rodney backwards towards the wall. His heels had barely hit the molding when the lamp to his left popped in a burning inferno. From that point on, things slowed down considerably. Rodney jumped away, mouth contorting mid-shout, just in time for the Winchester brothers to burst through the door and take him down. It was Sam that got a hold of Rodney, encircling his midsection and hitting the ground as his brother cocked a rifle. John had 3 seconds of morbid fascination before he pulled the trigger and something a few inches from his face disintegrated.
"Get off of me!" Rodney yelled.
"Stop! Your pants are on fire!"
"My pants are not on fire! I would feel it if... Oh my God, my pants are on fire!"
John used the distraction to take Dean by surprise, vaulting over the desk and prying the shotgun from his hands. He tripped backwards, back hitting the enamel surrounding the door. Rodney stumbled up onto his feet, pants and tatters around his ankles.
"Don't move," John said, recocking the gun. "Look," Sam said, hands raised. "It's salt."
John eyed him warily, rolling his shoulders as he shifted the gun to get better aim.
"In the gun," Sam repeated, eyes pleading. "It's just rock salt."
"Rock salt," John said.
"For ghosts."
There were a few moments of silence before Rodney opened his mouth.
"Wait, what?"
Dean pulled a small vial from his back pocket.
"It wards off spirits."
He tossed the bottle to John, watching as he cracked open the gun barrel and poured out all that was left inside.
"Salt,"
Rodney said, his disbelief made all the more poignant by his lack of pants.
"You're shooting salt at ghosts."
"A poltergeist, actually," Dean clarified.
"Yes, of course," Rodney started. "You're shooting salt at a poltergeist. A poltergeist. A poltergeist as in, Carol Ann, don't go into the light. Poltergeist."
"Yes,"
Sam said, standing to full height and rubbing ash off his pants.
"A poltergeist!
Rodney, we've got it,"
John sighed, cutting him off.
"Yes, but it's a poltergeist!"
Dean shrugged. "It's hard for most people to grasp, but we..."
"No, no, no," Rodney said, holding up a hand. "It's not hard to grasp. It's improbable. A spirit, a non-corporeal life form that floats through walls and rattles chains. The entire idea is completely unrealistic."
"So are aliens," John offered, and Rodney glared.
"They're faint traces of energy manipulated into apparitions by people who are too high on faith and want a sign."
"Optimism isn't your strong suit, is it?"
Dean mused, leaning against the doorway and crossing his arms.
"It's not pessimism, it's being a realist."
"Rodney is what's commonly known as a jackass," John supplied happily. Rodney frowned.
"Are you telling me you believe this?"
John shrugged. "Seen worse."
"Whether you believe it or not, there's a poltergeist in your house, and we need to kill it before it hurts someone," Sam said.
"As opposed to breaking all of our appliances and setting me on fire?"
John twisted his lips. There was a dark patch on the floor from Ronnie's burnt khakis. Whether it was a spirit or not, something needed to be done before one of them was fully engulfed.
"So,"
John spread his hands, palms up. "A poltergeist."
"A poltergeist,"
Dean replied,
grin all teeth.
"How are we supposed to shoot something that isn't real?" Rodney hissed over John's shoulder.
"I don't know. You seem to do an okay job of it back home."
"Oh, funny."
Rodney had a borrowed shotgun pressed between his hands, following closely on John's heels as they made rounds in the upstairs hallway. The Winchesters had taken what was left of downstairs, double-checking rooms and leaving behind trails of salt for the ones they found clean. The current plan consisted of two steps. One, trap spirit. Two, kill spirit. It was simple, logical, and easy to follow. They couldn't kill the poltergeist unless it physically manifested. After all, you couldn't shoot something that didn't have a body. Okay, you could, but it didn't do much.
Okay, so let's say there is a poltergeist in our house. What's to stop it from just, I don't know, hovering over the lines of salt?
Rodney hadn't quite given over to the new logic of lore.
John shrugged, a shoulder muscle taut with tension. He didn't have an answer, at least not one Rodney wanted to hear. He was happy as long as it worked. He'd ask questions and soothe curiosities later.
"You don't care?"
Rodney prodded, waving vaguely into the halls of dark lighting.
"Not really." "Oh, honestly, how in the world did I..."
John held up a hand, using his feet to redirect Rodney into a nearby closet.
"What are you doing?"
"Shh." John covered Rodney's mouth with his hands, holding still until the only noise was the sound of their breathing.
"It's close,"
he whispered, eyeing the overhead light as it began to flicker.
"I can see that! Would you get off of me?"
Rodney shoved back, catching his heel on a loose floorboard and slamming into the wall. It cracked, breaking off small chunks to paint the air white.
"Ah!"
Rodney coughed violently, John trying to grab a hold of his elbow before he slipped any further through the plaster. John could hear the Winchesters mounting the stairs, moving fast toward the sound of Rodney's yelling.
"Rodney!"
John was having a hard time trying to pull him to his feet, the debris from the collapsed wall clouding his vision and clogging his lungs.
"Rodney, just take my hand."
"You okay?"
Sam had pulled the closet door open, letting in a flood of light and fresh air.
"No," Rodney replied sourly. "Our house hates me."
"I think it hates the both of us,"
John said, finally getting Rodney back on his feet and backing them both out into the hallway.
"I wouldn't say that,"
Dean remarked, squinting into the closet where Rodney had come into contact with the wall.
"I think you guys just found our culprit."
John leaned in around him, blinking hard into the dissipating dust, where there was a gray figure curled up beside the hole.
"Jesus!"
Dean grinned darkly. "Let's salt and burn it."
Sam and Dean managed to drag the small body out into the backyard without any interference. The poltergeist in question had apparently attached itself to the child a while back and continued to pull energy from her spirit after she was gone. As long as it was able to prevent her from crossing over, it could live forever off her remains. There wasn't much information in the way of what had triggered the poltergeist's sudden reappearance, but John guessed it was Rodney scrubbing out the closet in a fit of allergen fear that set the thing off. He wouldn't say so, of course. Rodney had suffered enough physical and mental traumas the past week to earn him a reprieve. They burned the bones till there was nothing left but ash.
"So, this is your job," John said.
"Yeah?"
Dean crouched down to run his fingers through what was left.
"This is it."
On Sunday evening, John Shepherd found a body in his closet. A real body, not a metaphorical one that therapists often use to represent personal secrets. He watched it disappear in a blaze with two criminals and his boyfriend.
"I knew we should have bought the house on Birchwood," Rodney said, plucking plaster from his hair.
On Monday evening, he coated every surface of his house in salt, only slightly surprised when Rodney put down his second layer. They'd already started packing boxes. On Tuesday evening, he sat in the den with Rodney and the laptops, feet bare and body loose.
"You know,"
he said, nudging Rodney's thigh with his big toe, "this makes your threat to haunt me when you die a hell of a lot more valid." The end. I've got emotion driven.
said from the start that you could take it or leave.